The economy of the internet right now is advertising, and the fuel that feeds that advertising is personal information. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg made one thing very clear during his congressional hearings. The business of Facebook is selling ads, and that is not going to change. And these days, ads are all about the data that helps aim them right at specific customers. So all this week on Marketplace Tech, we're focusing on the data economy. Today, we're looking at the evolution of advertising technology and how much it now relies on personal information. Sophia Noble is a professor at the University of Southern California's Annenberg School of Communication. She studies digital platforms and their impact on society.
In the early days of the internet, before it was wholly commercialized, many of us remember being on the kind of bulletin board systems, kind of the text-based internet, if you will. Mm-hmm. By the mid-90s, we start to see these platforms arrive that are about organizing consumers into communities. All of these early platforms were really about tracking us and organizing us to sell us as a consumer group to big advertisers.
Let's talk about the technology then and how the sort of the tech of tracking and targeting got more sophisticated. You know, you talk about kind of, and I remember those bulletin board days. I was on a Liz Phair BBS and I loved it.
Nice.
But you talk about how there was sort of this idea that, okay, well, we'll just gather certain types of people all together in a community and then advertise to them. Like, can you sort of talk about the evolution of the technology?
Sure. I think there were multiple technological innovations happening, and various industries were interested in bolstering them. In my work, I look at the porn industry and how they were deeply invested in things like credit card processing or audio and visual transfers of information. So, you know, as those things became more sophisticated, faster, as bandwidth increased, we have multiple layers of the internet really growing and developing that allow for bigger, faster, more data to move across these networks globally, not just in the United States. And, you know, there's always the imperative within the industry to figure out how to monetize that.
Yeah. And do you think that this level of data collection that we see now would exist if it were not for monetization? Like, the internet was not conceived with the idea of data gathering in mind, was it?
Well, it's interesting. I think there are some of us kind of information historians who would argue that the kind of early days of the internet was about sharing scientific information and military information quickly. I mean, again, we have to remember this is an outgrowth of the U.S. military, kind of the early DARPA net. And that was about making sure that scientific information could be shared quickly, but in some ways also contained within the Western political interests. So we have an origin story of the internet as being about containment, containing information, tracking where it goes, seeing who sees it. And I don't think that it should be a surprise that that has kind of spread into a mass market, that those same politics of understanding how data is flowing, who it's flowing to, and tracking that is a fundamental part of the logic of the internet.
When do you think we crossed over from kind of broad demographic data in the aggregate to this really specific data collection, you know, this idea of psychographic marketing and understanding your personality type and your likes and your needs? Was that always a part of this data collection?
Yeah, you know, I used to work in advertising. I worked in advertising for over a decade before I became an academic. And when I worked in advertising, we used to say, well, if a consumer group is largely African American, then why don't we cast ads? We'll have the McDonald's ads, for example, with the white family, and we'll have a McDonald's ad for an African American family, and we'll run the African American family in mostly African American focused media. Now, what we see in the relationship that Facebook had with Cambridge Analytica, for example, is that the sophistication of profiling us psychographically based on what kind of Disney princess we are quiz that we took, or some other kind of, information that we share out that's kind of part of a psychological testing, so to speak, apparatus. That is definitely a newer phenomena. And I think that, you know, Facebook is probably not the only company that's really interested in harvesting information at that level.
I hear you describe that, and I think, boy, that sounds like a tapeworm for data.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that the new, largest, most profitable industries are the data industries. We see, in fact, in other countries that unique identification numbers being assigned to people and every kind of transaction that they're engaged with being recorded or connected to that unique identification number, such that the kind of benefits of the society then get meted out based on your profile. I mean, we have had record keeping in the United States for a long time, and we do make certain decisions about kind of the resources that might be available to you. Maybe those things are tracked to you through your social security number, right? Where your financial history gets tied to that and you get a credit score. And then that will determine whether you get a good rate for a mortgage, whether you get a mortgage at all. Now we see all kinds of other information that gets coupled to this data profile. And the problem is that we don't know what the data profile is about ourselves in all of these myriad systems. And we've seen John Oliver, right, for example, parody the credit reporting bureaus and just how hard it is to get, you know, factual errors corrected. Imagine all the transactions of your life amounting to a particular profile of you and you not be able to intervene upon that. And yet that profile kind of predicating the opportunities that might come your way.
Sophia Noble is a professor at the University of Southern California's Annenberg School of Communication. Our look at the data economy continues tomorrow. We'll look at the policy decisions that got us to this point. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. Here's an investment opportunity with a guaranteed return. When you donate to support Marketplace today, your gift will be matched dollar for dollar by our friends at the Candida Fund. Listeners like you who give to Marketplace do more than just help keep the show on the air. You actually help us grow and get better. It is a way to directly support independent reporting and journalism you can trust, and to make it possible for us to tell the stories of modern life through our digital economy. Don't miss out on this chance to make your donation go twice as far. Give today at marketplace.org, and thanks.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.